It's good to be here. I hope that during the week that I can spend some time with a lot of you, maybe all of you, but we're here to meditate, to study, to be able to learn more about God's Word, God's will, and whether you consider yourself young or middle-aged or old, we're hoping between Drew and I that we'll be able to say the things that are going to not only be the truth of God, but will be beneficial to you all. The elders, I think, have very wisely chosen for us to study from the 90th Psalm. We're told as we open our Bible that instead of this being a psalm of David's, it's a psalm, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Now, I have to tell you, I do not know at what stage in the life of Moses that he wrote this prayer that the Lord has seen fit to record. But it's meaningful to me, and I think to you talk about our numbering our days, and we say, well, you know, Moses lived to be 120 years old. And so we say, now what is it that this man, whether it was toward the end of his life or just where, what was it that caused him, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, to write the things that he did? The 90th Psalm is a wonderful psalm because it talks, it affirms for us the eternal nature of God. And then in contrast to presenting the eternal nature of God, we have the frailness, the shortness of the life of man. Open your Bible, if you will, and you follow along with me as we just introduce the subject that is before us. Moses begins in this prayer to the Father by saying, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Well, that's the God that you and I worship. That's the God who has been eternal, without beginning and without end. But how about you and me? What is the contrast? Well, we come to verse 10 of the 90th Psalm, and Moses says, the days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For the fear of you, as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us. Now here it is, folks. This is our theme through the week. So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Do you consider yourself wise? You say, Brother Tope, I'm one of the wise people here. All right. Well, what do we have to do in order to have this true wisdom that Moses speaks of here? Well, evidently we have to start right at the point where he does, and we say, true wisdom is to be gained by numbering our days. Well, what do we mean about that, numbering our days? You say, oh, I know what that means. That means that whenever somebody asks me, or that time of the year comes around, somebody says, what is this? You say, oh, this is my birthday. Well, invariably, and I'm sorry to say it, but as you get older, somebody always follows that up with another question. Well, just how old are you? Just how old are you? You ask me afterwards, and I'll tell you how old I am. But recently, I started working with another congregation of brethren, and there was a little 5-year-old boy that came up to me, and he looked me up and down. I'm not exaggerating. He said, you're old. He said, just how old are you? So I told him. He said, you know, he said, there are some people younger than you that are dead. He was right. Some folks younger than you, they're dead. But what is this matter? Why would this wonderful advice from old Moses that would cause us to say, you know, one of the ways in which you and I are going to gain wisdom, if we think about our lifespan. Well, there are a number of things that you and I do know about life, just as Moses states them here. It's very short. Unlike the eternal God, no matter how old you are, no matter how long you will live here on earth, it's just a short time. I don't know if in your contemplation of our lessons for this week, if maybe you ran across the passage in Psalm 39. But would you look over there for a minute, and we're just going to look at two verses, those verses being 4 and 5 of Psalm 39. And David says, Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you have made my days as hand's breadth, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is but a vapor. We're familiar with that idea of our life is just as a vapor. So without wearing you out, look over and see what James has to say about the shortness of our life and its uncertainty. In James 4 and verse 13, James calls them to reason together. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Well, he's got it right on the mark, doesn't he, whenever we think about what is our life? And most folks, I don't think you're that way, but most folks, whenever they think about their life, they think it's about buying and selling. It's all about the material things of life. What are you going to be whenever you grow up? And some people will say, well, I want to make a lot of money. But invariably, whenever people are making their plans for today or tomorrow, it centers on the material. But now notice what we learn. Verse 14 of James 4. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. Do any of us know what will happen tomorrow? You don't know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? See, even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. Do you do that? Do you do that? In order for you and I to gain wisdom, in order for us to be the truly wisest people on earth, we've got to learn our life is but a vapor, and if the Lord wills, we'll do this or we'll do that. There's so many things, I think, that come to our mind whenever we think about numbering our days and thinking about the shortness of life. You only live once. You only live once. You say, oh, I can remember when I was a child. And I can remember those childhood days and what I did. And I can think about my life today. But you know, it not only is all over, so very soon, you can't repeat it. You can't repeat it. I think one of these matters about you and I being wise people, it's the fact that we say, I've got to make the very best of my time. When will today come again? Have you thought about that? When will this morning come again? You say, well, Gene, it's not ever, ever going to come again. You see, we only live this morning just once. We only live today just one time. You can't repeat life. The foolish individual is going to say, oh, well, it's all right if I wasted today. I'll have another day. Well, no. Your life is just a vapor as a tale that is told. The book of Ephesians has got some mighty fine advice along this line. I'd look over at Ephesians 5. Would you like to turn there over in Ephesians 5 as we think about this matter of life and how we ought to live it? Come down with me to verse 15 and 16 of Ephesians 5. Paul says, see then that you walk circumspectly. My footnote says carefully. How are we supposed to conduct ourselves today, folks? Carefully. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. You know that applies to all the time. That applies. Now I'm supposed to be speaking to the old folks, but youngins, it's all right if you listen too. Do you know whenever today comes? I have to be very careful about how I use today. Whether you're at school, whether you're at work, whether you're at home. How about vacation time? Can you be foolish during vacation time? Say, oh, I'm carefree, and it doesn't matter what I do, I've turned loose, I'm in a strange place, nobody even knows me here. See that you walk circumspectly, because the days are evil. Every day for God's people, well, that's a judgment day. We're in the hands of the Lord, folks. It's going to depend on how we behave concerning some things that will definitely be in the future. Well, I think we could say a whole lot more about this matter of the shortness of life and how we're to be careful every day and how life cannot be repeated. There's something else about this gaining true wisdom. Do you know that the wisest people on earth know that there is God? To know God, that's wisdom. The psalmist says in Psalm 111 that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And I think you know the reverse scripture there in Psalm 14 where it says the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. How many people are there out there in the world, here in Southern California for that matter? Mick, is it all right if I call this Southern California? All right. Okay. There we are. How many people are there out there that maybe you run into that say, well, you're crazy if you believe in God. There is no God. Oh, boy. Now, who is the fool and who is wise? Well, those who say, there's only one explanation for all of this. There's only one explanation for the world, for creation. Let the so-called scientists go ahead and talk about the Big Bang and to talk about how many millions of years it took to create Death Valley or the Grand Canyon or Yosemite or what. You know what? There you are again in the book of Psalms, the 33rd chapter, verses 6 through 9. The Lord spoke. The Lord spoke and it was done. The Lord said, let there be light. He turned around on the sixth day and he said to the other members of the Godhead, "Let us create man in our own image after our likeness." How'd you get here? Well, somebody says you came from a tadpole. Well, maybe they came from a tadpole or an orangutan or something like that. I'll tell you where we came from, folks. You and I, we came from God. We came from God. That's how we got here. We're going to start out somewhere in life coming to some real questions. How did I get here on earth? Well, wisdom is going to reply, you got here on earth because God created you. Oh, you say, I know all of the facts of biology. I know about birth. Now, behind it all, there is God. That's how you got here. Well, why are you here? Well, somebody might say, I'm here. Well, I'm not really sure why I'm here on earth. I'm here so I can get married. I'm here so that I can enter this profession or that profession or do this work or do that work. Is that all life is about? Well, wise people, they fear God. And this fear of God is such that causes us folks to say, you know, I'm here on earth because God wants me to serve Him. How about that old passage in Ecclesiastes 12? Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. To fear God and keep His commandments. That's the all of man. Why am I here? How many folks are there out there that you're going to meet today and tomorrow that are going to say, I don't have any idea why I'm here on earth? And then that grand last question. Where am I going to go when this short life is over? Mr. Atheist, Mr. Agnostic, come up here. Come up here. What's going to happen to you when you die? Well, I really don't know, but I'm just going to disappear. That's all there is. Why, you dummy. You foolish person. You see why the scripture says to fear God? That's the beginning of wisdom. Now, what do you and I know? Let's count our blessings, folks. What do you and I know? Well, we know how the world got created. We know how the heavens and the earth began. We know why we're here. We know what our purpose is. Why we are here. Bless your dear hearts, we know what is going to happen after we leave this life. Now, what else is wisdom? Well, you say, Brother Gene, it's wise that we realize the shortness of life. Yes, it is. It is wise that we fear God. That's the beginning of wisdom. All right. It's wise to obey God. It's wise to obey God. Why are you here? Well, I'm here because my wife drug me out. I'm here because my mom and dad taught me that I ought to be here. I'm here because I didn't have anything. No. You're here to obey God. Doesn't matter who's sitting beside you. It doesn't have to do with how you're dressed or your social standing in life. None of that has anything to do with it. Do you know the Bible is the grandest book in all the world? Yes, it is. That Bible that you've got and maybe you've worn out any number of them, that's the greatest book in the world that you've been studying. I look over at Psalm 119, and I know you're familiar with some of these verses. Taking up the reading at verse 97 of Psalm 119, David says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, made me wiser than my enemies." Have you thought about that? Is it foolish to obey the commandments of God? Well, you know, if you obey His commandments, it will make you wiser than anybody else. Look at it. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. I've restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. I've not departed from your judgments, for you yourself has taught me how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth, and through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Folks, tell your kin folks this. Tell your children this. Tell the people you work with. It is wise to believe in God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Do you know what that faith is? That's wisdom. That's wisdom. It is wise for an individual to have that honesty where they look in their heart and they say, "I need to repent. I'm a sinner." Mickey was telling me about talking to some folks that could neither read nor write. Well, I come from an area of the world where there's a lot of folks that have never, ever learned to read a word. Betty and I met a lady by the name of Naidu from India, Asia. And we began to study with this good lady. She could not read or write a single word. And after we studied with her for a period of weeks, she said, "That means I need to repent." Have you ever heard anybody say that after you've studied with them? Here's a crippled up old lady. had never heard the true gospel before in all of her life. Denomination of some kind taught error all of her life, first the Hindu religion, and now this false form of Christianity. I need to repent. And she did. Well, Betty and I were rejoicing, but you know, you know people and maybe you know preachers. Sometimes they're not so very good. Sometimes they're not very wise. After Sister Naidu became our sister in Christ, they said, well, we're so glad, but you know, she won't be able to help the church any as far as bringing folks. Have you ever seen 10 little Indians in a VW Beetle? Sister Naidu got busy with all of the folks in her apartment building, telling them about Christ and telling them about the Church of our Lord. She brought more folks to services than any of the rest of us. Well, what am I talking about? Well, I'm not just talking to you about Sister Naidu. I'm talking about what is really wise. The day in which you said, I need to be baptized for the forgiveness of my sins, that was one of the wisest day in all your life. You know who Christians are? Well, we're not just a little old bunch of people that folks in Lancaster maybe have never heard of. No, we're not. You're wise. You're the wisest people on earth. If you have obeyed from your heart the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and you're the wisest folks on earth, if you're continuing faithfully to Him. What's this week all about, folks? You come every time. You study Psalm 90. You say, you know, I'm just going to be here on earth for a short time. That's wise. You say, I want to fear God. And then you say, I want to keep His commandments. Bring somebody with you if you can. But you be sure that you do everything within your power to be here. Listen to Drew today. As he talks about young folks. Drew, have I already gone over some stuff you're going to talk about? I told him even if we do, repeat it again, because there'll be some more folks maybe that'll come in. And so that's what we'll talk about. I hope you think about the lesson this morning. We're talking about numbering your days so that you can gain wisdom. And I've mentioned just three things. Remember how short your life is. Fear God and keep His commandments. Isn't that good for us? That'll help us all. It'll help the church here in Lancaster to grow and for us to be the kind of folks that He would have us to be. All right. That's it. Thank you.